Good morning, and welcome to our Sunday service this morning. It's such a beautiful morning for everybody to be here. My name is James Cheng. For today's call to worship, I will be reading the James portion, and you will be responding with the congregation portion. So let's start. Righteous and powerful God, in you we can truly boast, because of your great love and justice to all humanity. You, O God, are our powerful and great sovereign Lord, and we trust in your reign of mercy and compassion. Into your keeping, O Lord, our God, we commit our leaders so that justice, integrity, and peace may be their guiding beacons. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Judges, chapter 2, verse 16 through 23. Then the Lord raised up judges, who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshipped them. They quickly turned from the ways of their ancestors, who had been obedient to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge, and saved them out of the hands of their enemies, as long as the judge lived. For the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their ancestors, following other gods and serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and said, because this nation has violated the covenant I ordained for their ancestors and has not listened to me, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations Joshua left when he died. I will use them to test Israel and see whether they will keep the ways of the Lord and walk in it as their ancestors did. The Lord had allowed those nations to remain. He did not drive them out at once, but given them into the hands of Joshua. Today's sermon will be given by Chris.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Again, it is great to have you guys here worshiping with us this morning. We're glad you are here. Before I begin, a quick quiz. Do you guys, for those of you guys who were here last week, anyone remember what Pastor Tim preached on? Can you guys go ahead and shout it out? What did Pastor Tim preach on last week? There's a Hebrew word that he talked about. Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, so he talked about the Shema, all right? Okay, let me go ahead and turn this on. Aha, there you go. Talk about the Shema, which means listen, obey, remember, and obey. And it's interesting, he talked about, again, the people, God giving the commands to this people to listen to my voice. Hey, hear, O Israel. That was kind of the call. Hey, this is my commands for you. Remember them. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your doorposts of your house. Do all these things, right, so that you may not forget, you know, my commandments to you. And it's really interesting, I think. I don't know how many of you guys were just shy. Maybe you guys didn't know. But I think a lot of times it is easy for us to forget, right? Just the things that God wants for us, just things in life, maybe just things are so busy. But we are often really forgetful. And I think when it comes to God's promises for us, a lot of times, and God's commands for us, we can kind of do one or two things, but we forget. We oftentimes forget what God wants. And so it's really a good reminder, again, to say, hey, God is constantly calling out to us and saying, hey, remember, hey, I'm here. You know, listen to my voice, listen to my word, get into my word, obey this, obey what I'm trying to get to you, right? Don't forget what I have talked about to you. And today, we're starting a new series, Pastor Tim and I, and we're going through the book of Judges. And in the next couple of weeks, we will talk about specific judges and kind of who they are, kind of what happened to them, and how God used them. and some of their lessons that we can learn from them. But today we're looking at more of an overview of kind of the Israelites, kind of the situation that they were in. And it's interesting, again, I think this whole remembering thing, they often forget, they often turned away from God's commands and what God desires for them. So last week's sermon and this week's sermon goes hand in hand. And we're going to get into a lot of different things about what Judges, and I think the nation of Israel during this time of Judges is very similar to today, and we can learn a lot from them. So let me go ahead and pray one more time, and then we'll go ahead and jump into our sermon. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you again that you are a faithful God, that you are a God who is great above all names, name above all names, that we can come and worship you. And we just pray that today, as we get into your word, that you would continue to speak to us, that we would have ears, open up our hearts and ears to the message that you want us to hear, that we would listen, that we would hear, that we would remember, and we would obey just the things that you have commanded us to do and live by. And so, yeah, may you just bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wanted to start by showing you a video, hopefully this works, of my adorable son, JJ here, Joshua. This is the new thing that he's been doing recently. He's been learning how to grab things, and it's kind of fun. It's about a minute long, and I think it's adorable. You guys are just like, whatever, he's just whacking things. But that's kind of cool. He's starting to learn his hand-eye coordination, and he's got the giraffe. He's trying to put the little giraffe thing in his mouth, and he loves to whack the little parrot. And it's kind of fun to see him grow up. He's developing. He's 14 weeks now, so a little bit over 3 months. And actually, this past weekend, we went down to L.A., and he started to try to roll on his over from back to front. And so it's kind of fun. All he does is kind of spin around in a circle. He can't quite get there. His head's kind of big, and so he kind of has a hard time going, flipping over. But it's kind of cool. It's been a lot of fun seeing him do this. Anyways, that's him. So we have a lot of fun trying to see him grow and learn new things. And there he is again playing in his activity gym. He loves that activity gym. But not all things are great. This is him sleeping. This is at nighttime when he actually will sleep. And May and I were very thankful that he actually sleeps during the night. But during the daytime, he does not sleep. He does not like to take naps. And it's really interesting. We take care of him, and then he starts getting tired, and we can tell he's getting tired. He starts zoning out. He starts rubbing his face and kind of pulling his ears. Okay, those are his tired cues, right? So we should try to get him to go to sleep. And so we'll pick him up, and we try to rock him. We have the little rocking motion that we do to try to get him to go to sleep. And he starts to fuss, and he starts to actually cry and complain. We're like, what are you doing? We know you're tired. We know this is good for you. We know you want to sleep, but he's fighting it. He does not want to go to sleep. He does not want to take a nap at nighttime or in the day. And so he starts fighting it. We see he's crying, and he starts, he's still tired and yawning, but he's still like crying and trying to stay up. And we don't know why. Maybe all babies do this. We think it's just because he loves to explore the world, and that's what we say. But sometimes we feel like there's a little rebellion kind of in him. He knows this is good for him. He knows he's supposed to go down for his nap time, but he doesn't want it. And he fights it, and he fights it, and fights it. And it's interesting, I think, that even at such a young age, there's something in there that sometimes, kind of push what we know is right. And I think this even now, when I look at myself, I'm like, yeah, I see that for myself too. I know things that I'm supposed to do, and I don't do them, right? And there are things I know I'm not supposed to do, and I do them, right? Eat that extra scoop of ice cream, or not exercise when I'm supposed to, or certain things like that. We know certain things that we're supposed to do, but we don't do it. And Paul writes about this. I think he says it in Romans. This is a passage that is pretty familiar to some of us. It says Romans 7:15-20 says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I want, and I agree with the law, that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is my flesh. For I have the desires to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." And he's talking about kind of the sin nature, right, that we kind of have in us, and we kind of struggle with this. This idea of we know there are certain things that we're supposed to do, but we don't do it. There's things that, you know, are tempting us that we know, you know, we're not supposed to do. We do it, right? And we look at the passage again as we're looking at the Israelites and Judges, and they are kind of exactly doing the same thing. As you kind of look through and read through the book of Judges, we see this constant sin cycle that they get caught up in, right? That they're doing good, they're faithful to God, and all of a sudden, you know, they do evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so God, you know, punishes them, they get enslaved. The Israelites cry out to God, you know, God raises up a judge, they're delivered, and there's peace, and then it repeats again. And we see it throughout the whole book of Judges, that there's a cycle that continues to go on, okay, the sin cycle that happens. And I think this is something that we kind of go through in our own lives. We kind of see this too, right, where we sometimes things are good, we sin against God, and then there's, you know, kind of consequences for our sins, our actions. We turn, repent, kind of turn back to God, and things are good, but then we kind of go back in the cycle. And sometimes there's these temptations that we have, and we just can't get over them, and we just keep kind of going, you know, having this sin struggle that we have. What I want us to see today, and I think in the book of Judges, kind of the big picture of what God desires, is He has always wanted an undivided heart from God's people to Him. And I think in order for us to really understand this, to really know what, you know, God's heart is, we have to know who He is and how we can relate to Him. You kind of read the Bible, we read the Old Testament. What's the first commandment of the Ten Commandments? It is, you shall have no other gods before me, right? No other gods before me. And then also later, Jesus talks about this idea of, you know, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind. Every part of you, every fiber of your being, right, is supposed to be given to God. This is what God's heart is. He always has this for us. He wants us to give our full self, our full life, over to Him. And I would actually say this. I believe that God actually demands this from us. He commands us to worship Him with all that we are, to give our whole selves to Him. And I know that sounds kind of funny, where we say, well, God's demanding this from us. You know, God, you know, is kind of like, is He forcing us to do this? But this is who God made us to be. And I think we have to understand this, right? God originally made us as worshipers, okay? We are all made to worship. This is more than just a good Christian worship song that we sing. This is something that we are. If we are not worshiping God, we're going to be worshiping something else, okay? That's how God designed us to be. He designed us to be worshipers, okay? And our hearts are always going to go after something, okay? Regardless if it's either God, if it's not God, then it's something else. And some people might say, okay, God made us to worship Him, right? Why did He do that? Is God some, you know, sad God, some sad, lonely God who has His rain cloud, and He's really lonely, you know? He's like, oh, you know, I'm so sad, I'm bored, or I have no friends. And so I'm going to create some people to worship me, because that's going to make me feel better, right? And that's not the case, okay? God didn't make us to worship Him because He's some sad, lonely God who needs a self-esteem boost, okay? But God made us to worship Him for the reason that He knows what is best for us, and He wants to give us the best, which is Himself. God is a perfect, awesome, holy God, the best of the best that you can have. And He knows that as worshipers, as people who are made to worship, we can chase after a lot of different things, but He's the only one who's going to fully satisfy us. He's the only one who could really, like, have us, like, worship Him fully, and that's where we feel the most ourselves. Okay? Again, we'll chase after these other things in our lives. They might give us temporary happiness. They might bring us a little bit of satisfaction for time. But those things go away. Those things fade. And God knows that what is best for you, that's me. And so that's why God made us. He wants us to experience all of who He is. He wants us to experience the greatness, the fullness of His greatness and His goodness to us. And so that's why He really desires our whole hearts. Not again because He knows He needs it, but because He knows that we need it. We're the ones that have an empty heart. We're the ones that are looking for things to fill our lives with. And He says, I'm here. I'm the best that I have. I'm the best, right? So come and chase after me. Chase after me. So God wants us. This is another thing that we see that kind of talks about is that God is a jealous God. And I think this is kind of an interesting thing. People say, well, how does this really work? Why is God this jealous God? Isn't jealousy bad? An analogy that I think I've given before, and the one that I've heard, which I really like, is that of a marriage relationship. Okay, so May and I were married. We've been married for 3 years now. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. It's been really good. Now, what happens if I start flirting with another girl, right? I start, like, trying to you know, flirt with her and get with her, you know, whatever. May should be angry. She should be jealous, rightly so, right? Because I have made my commitment to her, right? I have pledged my life, my whole self to her. I'm committed to her. So when if she sees me running after some other girl, she should be angry and jealous. And that's actually a good thing. She should be, right? And I think in the same way, God has that for us. He made us, and He knows that He wants this relationship with us. He wants us to be, we have this commitment to Him, our relationship with Him. And yet, He sees us kind of chasing after all these other false gods and false idols, after all these things, right? And He gets jealous. He gets angry because He knows that, hey, you have made your commitment to me. Why are you still trying to chase after these other things? Right? And so the Bible says that God is a jealous God, and yet this is a good thing, right? Because He demands our whole selves, our whole heart. And so when we look at the passages, again, that we'll look at today, it says here that God really desires what? He desires our heart. Okay, He desires our whole selves, all that we are, right? It's not much, but that's all He desires. It's all we have. We give it to Him. So we look at this, the Israelites, before they even got into Canaan land, before we even get to the book of Judges, God had made this promise to them, or had made this covenant with them. And we see this in Exodus 34, 11 to 17. It says this: "Observe what I command to you this day. Behold, I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Take care lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you go, lest it becomes a snare in your midst. You shall tear down their altars, you shall break their pillars and cut down their asherim, for you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and when they whore after their gods and sacrifice their gods, and you are invited, you eat of his sacrifice, you take care of their daughters for your sons, and their daughters whore after their gods and make your sons whore after their gods. You shall not make for yourself any gods of cast metal." So even before the Israelites got into Canaan, the promised land, God had told them this: look, I have given you guys Canaan, okay? This is the promised land. I'm going to give it to you guys. And as you guys go in, as you guys start driving out these people, you need to make sure you clear them out completely, okay? Drive them out, break down their altars, break down their idols, you know, get rid of all these things, right? Cut down their asherim poles, all these things, because, you know, I want to make sure that you are not tempted by these other things, right? But as we see in the book of Judges, let's go ahead and look. If you guys have Bibles, you guys can turn there. But Judges chapter 1, this is what the Israelites did when they did get into the land of Canaan, right? "Now the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgad to Bochim and said to him, I brought you up out from Egypt, brought you into the land that I swore to give to your fathers. I said, I'll never break my covenant with you. You shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall break down their altars. But why have you not obeyed my voice? What is this you have done?" And then later he goes in 11, verses 11 to 13, he says, "And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord, served the Baals and the Asheroth." And then also in Judges 2, a passage we read right before this one, it says, "And the people of Israel, again, did the same thing. They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Baals. They abandoned the Lord, the God their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among other gods, the people who were with them, and bowed down to them to provoke the Lord in the anger. They abandoned the Lord," right, "and they served these other gods, these false gods." So we see here again, God desires the whole hearts, the community, the Israelites, all of who they are, to completely worship them. And he says, when you get into this land, hey, you gotta get rid of these false idols, false gods. But instead, they did it, right? They kept them, and instead of getting rid of them, they actually started to worship them themselves, right? They started bowing down to them. They started giving their lives over to them. They had their kids start worshiping these other gods, you know, and they did not, you know, obey God's voice, right? They did not obey God's command. And I believe this is what God desires for us today, is the same thing, that we need to make sure that we are breaking down our idols in our own lives, right? We should smash the idols, break them, whatever it is, right? And the reason for this, I really believe God knows. God knows our hearts. He knows that we are very easily tempted, right? He knows that we are easily swayed by other things of this world, right? And he knows that there's a big draw. These things do pull us, you know? Our hearts are very fleeting, right? But God, again, wants our full commitment, our full hearts, our full lives to Him. So what are these things, right? Idols show up in a lot of different ways, and I don't want to spend too much time on all these things, but you know, there are a lot of things that vie for our attention, right? Vie for our heart's desires. Sometimes they're good things. Family can become an idol. You know, our jobs can become an idol. Success in, you know, school, that could become an idol, right? Our being popular, being friends, you know, having fun, making money. There's a lot of things that can kind of vie for our attention, vie for our hearts, right? This is what I saw. It says idolatry is this, right? It's making a good thing the ultimate thing. And I think that's really what it is, right? The things of this world are not bad, right? We need money. We need our families. You know, we need these things. They're good for us. But it's when we, you know, all of a sudden start putting those things above God, when it starts dethroning God, when all our focus, all our attention, all our energy is going towards this other thing besides God, that's when it becomes an idol, right? Now, the thing that's important for us to remember is that it's not only good to kind of identify the idol and to get rid of them, right? But what we really need to do is we need to find those idols and then get rid of them, and then replace them with God, right? I think idols and sin are a lot like Hydra from, if you guys watch Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Marvel in general, right? Like Hydra, what's their saying? You cut off one head, another head grows in its place, right? And it's kind of like that. I think sin is like that. I think idols are like that, where you can get rid of one thing, but your heart is still, again, we're worshipers. And so we're still looking for something else. And so maybe we can get rid of, okay, I'm not, you know, going to focus all my attention on work, right? But then I'm going to turn it to, it can become family or something, right? Or it can become, you know, my entertainment. And something else is going to take its place, right? And so what are we doing with these idols, right? We need to get rid of the idols in our lives, but replace them with God, right? Replace them with His Word. Replace them with, you know, serving and loving Him, loving His people. That is what God's desire is for us, okay? I think another thing that comes with, again, with the idols and with these things is we need to make a decision, and this needs to be a choice that we make. I love what Joshua says when they first entered Canaan land. Joshua tells his people, like, you know what? You guys need to make a decision, right? You guys need to make your choice, right? Who are you going to serve? And Joshua says, but as for me and my house, you know, we will serve the Lord. Later, if you guys look at Jesus' life, what does he tell his disciples? He says to them that they must pick up their cross and follow him daily. Right, it's a daily commitment that we need to make. It's a daily decision that we need to make to follow Christ. A lot of times, I think for us who have grown up in the church, we're like, "Yeah, I've been going to church. All of my life, and you know, I made my commitment, you know, many, many years ago." But are we still making that same commitment to Him today? Right, every morning, every day, you wake up and you're like, "All right, God, new day. You've given me. You know, I commit my life to You. Right, I'm giving every moment, every time of my life to You." Okay? So this is the first thing I think that God desires for us, okay? Is He desires our full hearts, our full hearts every day, every moment of our lives. The other thing that we see here in this passage that James read for us and in the book of Judges we see is that there is consequences for sin, okay? And God actually allows the people to kind of go through their sin. Right, here we go, a couple couple of verses here. Now the angel of the Lord went up. We read some of this, right? But they did not obey the voice, right? And he says to them, "I will not." Verse 3. "So I will not drive them out before you, right? They shall become thorns in your side, right? And their gods shall be a snare to you." And then later on, he says the same thing, kind of again. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, right? And so, what did he do? He gave them over to the plunderers who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of the surrounding enemies, so that they can no longer withstand their enemies, right? Wherever they marched into the land, the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned and the Lord had sworn to them. They were in terrible distress. And then finally, again, another passage, same thing, that says that, again, "I will no longer drive them out before any of the nations," you know, Joshua had left when he died, right? So God allowed the people to make their choices, right? They said, "All right, this is what I desire for you. You get into the land, you destroy all their idols, you don't follow any of the gods, you follow after me, right? Because I know I'm the best for you." But they had a choice, and they did not choose God. And they decided to chase after these other gods instead. So God actually allowed them to do that. And I think it's interesting that says that, he did this. Verse 22, "In order to test Israel by them, whether they will take care to walk in the way of the Lord as their fathers did or not." Every day in our lives, we have choices that we need to make, right? And God allows us to come to this point and say, "Hey, okay, what are you going to do? Right? Are you going to choose to follow after me? Are you going to choose to give your heart over to me? Or are you going to choose to follow after your world, your own, you know, sinful desires, these things of your heart? You know, what are you doing with you know, your life?" And every day, every moment, we have to make these choices. You know, and are we choosing God? You know, are we making that choice? And the thing, I think sometimes he allows us to go through this. Again, for what purpose? To test our faith. To say, "Hey, are you really committed to me?" Right? I'm going to allow you to kind of go through your sin, kind of struggle through that. There's some consequences that you're going to have to deal with. But are you going to repent? Are you going to pick yourself up? Are you going to turn back to me? Are you really committed to me or not? And sometimes God will allow that to happen, okay? So actually have us struggle through that, okay? And so there are consequences for our sin, just because we obey God and just because he's a loving, forgiving God, there are still consequences to our choices and the sin that we take, okay? So give your God your heart. There's consequences for sin. And the last thing that we see and we're thankful for is that God is a faithful God, okay? That even though Israel messed up time and time and time and time and time and time again, right? God still says, "You know what? You are still my people. I'm still committed to you. I hear your cries, you know, and I'm going to raise you up out of whatever it is you're going through." And so, again, some of these similar passages, the Lord raised up these judges. He raised up these people, okay? He hears their cries. I'm not going to read them all for you here, right? But he raised them up, judges, to lead them out of the people. And we see what God's promise is for them. If you obey my leaders, if you kind of obey me, things are good, right? Things are great. But when they obey, when the judges either died or then they turned back, you know, they did more evil things, right? And God allowed them again to go through kind of the cycle of sin. So God loves us, okay? And God does raise up judges. And we're going to go through these different judges in the upcoming weeks. But I think this is a really kind of a fitting title, right? There's a lot, but there's like fallen people, faithful God. And I think we see that God is very patient with us, okay? God is very patient with us, that even though we mess up, okay, even though we don't always choose him, even though we'll chase after other of these false gods, false idols, right, that he is still faithful, that he is still there, that he still listens, he hears our cries, he cares about us, right, and he's going to raise us back up if we turn back to him. Okay. So kind of quick, but this is simple, right? Three things, right, is give your heart to him. There's consequences for sin, and God is faithful. But before I end, I wanted to talk about this. I think a lot of times when we come to these Bible passages about breaking down idols or getting rid of idols, it's very just, all right, just do that, right? Just get rid of those idols, and that's it. But I think there's more to just that. And I think if we kind of go back to what God's original plan or promise to his people is this. Back to Exodus. And this is the passage, the verse I didn't read before, Exodus 34. It says, and he said this, "Behold, I am making a covenant Before all your people, I will do marvels such as have not been seen, have not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I'll do with you. God doesn't just want us to get rid of idols and just to worship Him and just be with Him only, but He wants us to show the world how great He is and how marvelous and how amazing He is, all the works that He does. And I think we need to really break out of our Christian bubble, okay? I think a lot of times it's easy for us to think and be like, all right, well, God wants my heart, and so all I'm going to do is pray to Him, you know, spend time, you know, just at church or, you know, worshiping Him on my own, and just kind of, you know, the world is bad, right? And God is good, and so I'm going to just leave the world, and I'm just going to be in my own little circle with God, and that's it, my little bubble with God. But God doesn't want that, okay? And we look at, what God's heart is, it's always for the world to see who He is, all right? And I think for all of us, hopefully, that we have seen great things, that we have witnessed what God has been doing already kind of in our lives, in this church, around us, and you're saying, hey, you know what? We need to go and tell people, right? We need to go and say, hey, how great our God is. He is amazing. He is great. Let me tell you about it, right? I have witnessed these things. I have seen these things, right? God tells us, right? He says not to be in the world. We're in the world, but not of the world, right? And I think what that really means is, like, we're supposed to be salt and light, right? Okay, I think that's what it is. They say, hey, again, we are a part of this world, okay? The world is corrupted, it's evil, right? But don't run away from it. Instead, you know, engage it, right? Don't be influenced by the world, but instead, you influence it, right? You go out into it, and you make an impact, you make a difference, right? Instead of having all these things, you know, change you change the world. And I really believe that that is what God is calling us to do as a church, as people, right? Okay. And there's this one little thing that says, you'll never influence the world by trying to be like it. And I think as Christians, you know, we can kind of take that to heart and say, you know what? The world is fine, okay? Like, we can live in it and enjoy it, and there's all these things that, you know, we can be a part of it. It's fine. But to really make a difference, right? And God says, hey, go and tell people about me, tell people about what I've been doing, right? And make a difference, right? Make a difference. This is God's challenge, I believe, to us, so that the world may know Him, so that they may turn to Him, that many people will be able to glorify and worship God, okay? So let's go ahead and make that, hopefully, that commitment, our day-to-day commitment to Him, all right, to turn our lives over to Him. Let me ask the worship team up. Let me go ahead and close and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again that you are a God, a loving God who gave us your Son, who gave us life, and that's in you, who gave us a purpose in living. And I pray that every day of our lives that we would really make a decision to follow after you, to chase after you, that this is a choice that we make, that you will be our only God, that will give you our whole lives, our whole heart, all that we are, that we give it to you. And that not only that, but we will be able to go into the world and tell others about you as well, and to see that, hey, you are, to tell them how great you are, how amazing and awesome you are. So continue to use us, continue to help us make an impact, just in the world, the community around us. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.